It is Thursday, August 27th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is returning champion Amit Pasella, sports reporter with The National. Amit, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Folks, the Arabian Gulf League season is underway. Kind of. Probably. We'll come to that. But so far, the biggest story is, without a doubt, Al Ahly. Last season's crisis club, at least domestically speaking, is on a roll this time. Al Ahly opened their season with an 8-1 thrashing of Fujair in the AGL, and then followed that up just yesterday with a 1-0 win at Naf Tehran in the Asian Champions League quarterfinals. Obviously, UAE teams going on the road and winning on Iranian soil is not that usual of a sight. So, Amit, why don't we just start with your thoughts on yesterday's game? It wasn't exactly action packed, but it was a great result as far as Al Ahly were concerned.
Indeed, it is a good result for Al Ahly, winning 1-0. It's not a big lead. Still, they need to, you know, defend that 1-0 away score, but it's a good start for them.
Just looking back on that, especially in the first half, it looked as though Cosmin Oloroyo, he'd have been happy coming back with a 0-0 draw. Certainly, they played that way. And then, obviously, Lima, their new acquisition from Benfica, he popped up, you know, when he needed to. Almost throughout the preseason and much of last season, the talk was of how badly Al Ahly needed a striker, especially when the departure of Grafice and just the rest of the strikers not firing. It's early, obviously, but does Lima look like the guy who can give Al Ahly the goals they need?
Certainly, he has done his job well so far. He was impressive in the league game, and then he showed that he can score again in the ACL.
Now, as given what you've seen, I don't know. I just to quickly touch on the other first legs from the other Champions League quarterfinals. Al Hilal of Saudi Arabia, they looked pretty dominant. They beat Laqueia 4-1 in Saudi, Laqueia of Qatar. So they've pretty much have one foot in the semifinals already. And then over on the eastern side of the draw, Guangzhou Evergrande of China won 3-1 in Japan against Kashiwa Reysol. They look good for the for the last four. And then Jeonbuk Motors of South Korea and Gamba Osaka of Japan drew 0-0 in Korea in probably the least action-packed of game of those four. Amit, as we said earlier, it's early. Ali have only played two competitive matches, beating up on a shockingly bad Fujairah team. Looked nothing like the team from the AGL last season, and then one at Naf Tehran, who, as we mentioned in the National, they're winless so far in the Iranian Pro League. So it's questionable how much resistance they really faced, but can we say that last season was a blip as far as Ahly is concerned, and now this season they'll look more like they did two seasons ago?
Al Ahly has followed the same pattern. Like when they won the league, the following season they didn't do well. And it is the same trend this time. They did well to win the league previous year, and then last year they went down a bit. But this year I think they have made a statement from the very beginning.
And just one other note on this real quick. One of their second half substitutes was Usama Asaidi. There was some question about whether he was going to hang around because obviously they rotated out a couple players. They kept Kwon Kyung-won and they brought in Lima and Everton Ribeiro. It was one of their big acquisitions last season. So there was some question as to whether it would be Asaidi or whether Ciel, one of their other Brazilians, would come in and fill that last foreigner spot. Do you think they have any leaning one way or the other? Whether it would be Asaidi or Ciel? Since the transfer window is open until October, is it just too early to say who's still going to have a job once the weather cools down?
I think they're still in the market to get a new player. Mm. So it depends, you know, whether Ciel or Asaidi back in the side, or they are going to go for fresh legs.
Hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Sure. And they're still, as mentioned, with the transfer window going until October, there's still probably at least a month worth of flux around, especially if teams don't get the early results they think they think they should be getting. Obviously, that's a behavior that's not confined to the English Premier League. And just to touch real quick on the other results from week one in the Arabian Gulf League, Dibba, the newly promoted side, got a nice welcome to the league. They lost 4-0 at home against Al Huada. And then the other promoted side, Al Shab, lost 2-0 at home to Banias, the new look side there. Al Shabab beat Sharjah 2-1 in Dubai. Champions Al Ain, 3-1 over Al Dhafra. Al Nasser, who lost to Al Ain in the Arabian Gulf Super Cup, they beat Emirates 2-1 at home. And then in the surprise of the round, I guess if you need a surprise of the round, it wasn't that big, Al Wasl won 2-1 at Al Jazeera, who have been among the biggest spenders and biggest movers so far in this new Arabian Gulf League season. Amit, what were some of your biggest takeaways from week one of the AGL?
I think Ahly has started very well, winning 8-1. Cosmi Nolario, you know, played down that win, but I think to win 8-1 against any team in the AGL is a very big result. I think they are a title challenger. Al Wahda, I think they did well, winning 4-0 after being held scoreless in the first half. So they are a team that is going to build up, and with Valdivia back in the AGL, they will be a team that can create a few upsets, not necessarily winning the league.
I said, now you mentioned Valdivia. He hasn't actually played yet. I'm not even sure if he's in town, but we are sure he's coming. We just need to ask, because this time last season he may or may not have been going to Fujairah, and then there lots of conflicting stories came out. It looks like he's probably going to Al Wahda. Can they count on him showing up eventually?
He arrived on Friday, mm-hmm. and is training. I'm not sure whether he is going to play in the cup games this week, but I'm sure he's going to make a very big impact, because they have a pretty good side with Danielson as well.
And as Amit mentioned, the Arabian Gulf League has started, and now it's on hiatus. There'll be two rounds of Arabian Gulf Cup matches, because the UAE national team has reformed with two more World Cup qualifying matches on the horizon. They will host Malaysia in Group A on September 3rd at the Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium here in the capital. And then on September 8th, they will face Palestine somewhere, maybe in the West Bank, maybe in Jordan. We're not entirely sure yet. But first things first, they're going to host Burma, or Myanmar, if you must, tomorrow, Friday, at Zayed Sports City, in a friendly that we have just learned is going to be behind closed doors. No fans, and apparently no cameras. Amit, have you heard any word as to why this is suddenly become so hush-hush?
I think they struggled to beat East Timor in their first game. So possibly they are trying out some new combinations, I would say.
Mahdi Ali doesn't seem that kind of a reactionary manager. I mean, sure, he may tinker a bit, but it's largely the same group of players. I don't think there's anyone who's out injured. And, I mean, you could just as easily ride off that East Timor result as guys being fatigued from playing for almost a year and a half nonstop. That would seem like a curious move on Mahdi Ali's part, just to scrap things, especially going up against a Malaysia team that just got ripped apart by Palestine in Kuala Lumpur.
It's very hard to say about his thinking, because he has always been like this. He wouldn't speak to the media, and he wouldn't allow players to speak to the media. So he has kept that. He believes that players can get carried away from the media. Probably he doesn't want to happen that.
Well, I mean, that and one aspect that certainly is understandable, but I mean, these are grown men and professional football players. Presumably they can handle themselves, you know, doing a media request here and there. But obviously, we here at National Towers might be a little bit biased in that view. to be sure. But so Amit, just looking at it broad view, obviously UAE one win from one. There's Saudi, that's the other big team in Group A. And then you've got Malaysia coming in off of a heavy loss in Palestine. This is just the second round of World Cup qualifying. And then the group winners from this all move on. And then some of the second place teams move on. Is winning this group, should we expect winning this group? Or is just advancing out of this group enough of an expectation for this team, considering Saudi is the other heavyweight in Group A?
I mean, they are heading for a double header. I mean, I don't think he's much worried about the game against Malaysia tomorrow. Malaysia, but Palestine will be a concern for him because they have done pretty well, smashing Malaysia 6-0 and just losing to Saudi Arabia 3-2. But UAE should be their first or second in that group.
If you had to make a guess, Malaysia and Palestine, 6 points, four. What do you see coming out of these two games?
I think they should go for 6 points.
6 points. All right, there you have it, folks. You have been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NATSportUAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.